Well, hello. I'm Alec Hogg, and with us is David Shapiro. David, isn't it funny? I mean, we go on to our noontime webinar, and so help me the hackers try and bring our site down. Anyway, we've got Cloudflare to bump them off, but it really is irritating that people think they can target you when you're supposedly at a weak point. But fortunately, we've got the best in the business to sort them out. David, did you listen to Cyril Ramaphosa last night?
No, for no other reason than we had load shedding. So it's ironic that you get kicked out. I read the headlines and I know what's happening, and it's a kind of step backwards. I understand what they're doing, but there's still a lot of anger out there and a lot of concern. Alec, you know, my big concern is that as we go backwards, I think people get taken down another notch. And that's what's concerning, is that economies are driven by confidence. That's what gets people to go out and spend and to do things and that. And yeah, we've been very patient and we understand the consequences and that. But when you go backwards, you know, when you feel that you're making progress and then have to go backwards, I think it has a very, very negative consequence. And what we must understand as well from, I know the liquor side, it's rather unfortunate that we have people who get drunk and drive and die and cause accidents and fill hospitals and so on. It's also an indictment on our law enforcement agencies and that, but it hurts all the retailers. They're big into cigarettes and they're big into liquor as well, whether it's Spar, whether it's Checkers, no matter who it is, you know, it's a big part and there are big margins there as well. So it's going to be felt in the retail industry as well.
David, I'm seeing some very uncomfortable parallels here with the 1930s in the United States, economy contracting, and then the politicians at that stage thought they could apply rules like prohibition. And all it did was give us Al Capone, gangsters, fear, craziness that went on during that period until they were eventually forced to relent. And this prohibition, because it is, that's what it is. No more alcohol will be sold. It almost looks like a very, very blunt tool that is being applied without any engagement. We're going to have people from the liquor industry joining us a little later to give us their thoughts. But from the statement that they issued today, there was no consultation. They were never told, they were never asked, they were never given any options of how they could help in preventing the excess or the increase in deaths, which come from, again, the sale of alcohol. It looks like we just got a command council, old Soviet style, do it my way or else.
You've touched on a very sensitive point. You know, we're perhaps topping the league there, but this is the biggest concern about lockdown overall. I think in the global economy, that governments are just taking it upon themselves. They've forgotten about the consultative process, the democratic process. They're just doing things of their own accord. And you even see it in financial sectors. Even here, Stephen Kosseff, bless his heart, and I'm not having an attack on him. He said, you know, companies should just be allowed to issue shares. You say, hold on a sec. We know you're in trouble, but you still got to have some kind of process. You can't just override these kind of things and just issue shares. And it's the same way as here. You can't just close down business without some kind of consultation. You are going back to that and you're driving this underground. People will find liquor that kind of falls off the back of a truck, which is exactly what it did in the bootlegging days. And people who want to drink will drink. They will find it. They're going to have people over or they're going to have a dinner. And it's the same as smoking. I haven't seen people dropping down dead from not having their smoke. So they obviously are getting it somewhere. So people are benefiting. And I'm on your side in this respect. I think that this is not going the right way. And I think the processes, you're right, are not correct.
As an investor, you would be looking at the competence, or it's either brilliance or incompetence, or they're captured. It's got to be one of the three. It's either brilliance because they know something that we don't know, i.e., that they're going to be closing down all the illicit cigarettes and the illicit liquor industry, or it's incompetent. They don't know how to, and they're making stupid decisions. Or it's captured in that the government is actually a gangster state, as has been written time and time and time again. So you've got one of those three, and I think any rational person is going to ask the question on those three. But how are the investment markets voting? What are they looking at?
That's where we're being misled. At the moment, the markets are doing pretty well here. But when you analyze them, it's not South Africa Inc. that is recovering. Yes, there's a lot of trading taking place in underlying shares, but overall, that side of the economy is under huge pressure. There's been big, big sell-offs. Even in banks, there's been a recent recovery in banks and recent recovery in one or two other shares. But overall, South Africa Inc. is under enormous pressure, if not for Prosus, if not for gold shares, if not for the mining shares, which are all things that are happening outside our border, the iron ore price, the copper price, the gold price. You know, we hardly mine. We mine 100 tons here. So we're hardly big miners. So that's keeping the JSE. Take that away, you've got a different picture that has emerged, which is showing you very, very weak underlying businesses and that. So that's what you've got to look at to see how the business community are coping with it. Now, wait until the results start to come out, which we've already started to see in the form of trading statements. A lot of pressure here. And that's where taxes are collected. Taxes are collected from money that's made in South Africa. Not from Prosus, not from BHP or Anglo's, not from those mines. That's collected in Brazil or wherever they operate. So understand that.
But where's the disconnect here? Because if you continue to play the game that's being played, in other words, we are all powerful politicians. We will decide what is good for you in South Africa. And I get that the politicians are elected and they can, until they get chucked out of office, believe that. But there's a disconnect between what they're doing and the reality. How are they going to fund all of this? How are they going to pay the salaries at the end of the month? How are they going to continue to keep the wheels of the economy rolling, or the public sector, which is one third of the people employed in this country, who then get paid by those in the private sector? Where does that disconnect come, or are they gambling with us?
They're just hoping that something happens that gets them out of the poop, and it's not going to happen. In other words, you're right to be fearful. You're right to bring up those things because they're not
fearful, making.
It doesn't balance. It doesn't balance. How are you going to save SAA? How are you going to save all these institutions? The only way you can do it, which is not going to happen because Tito won't allow it, or certainly Lesetcha won't allow it, is to print money. That's the only way you can start creating monopoly money, as happened in Zim, but they're not going to allow that. And God forbid that happens, because the Rand will just tank. So we haven't got the money, and nor is there a plan or a coherent plan to get this right. The money's here, Alec. The actual money is hidden. What you've got to do is create the confidence that people feel that they want to spend it, or they want to make the investment. And that's where the disconnect's coming. The government's saying, we know better. We know how to do this. Don't interfere. And business people are saying, just let us be part of it. Come and consult us. We'll do it. But you've got to get away from ideology, and you've got to get away from this almost authoritarian approach, and let us do what we are good at. So from my point of view, that's where the disconnect's coming, is this developmental state. Now, we know what's good for you. We're not China. We haven't got 2,000 years of, you know, of culture behind us to do that. And that's where the worry is actually available. And you see that in the kind of results that are coming out and in SA Inc. companies.
David, from your clients, you've got lots of wealthy clients, people who make huge contributions to this economy through their taxes. What are they feeling about what they see, the way that the government has been handling this whole lockdown?
I've been talking about it the whole morning. They're hugely concerned. And you always ask me where I invest. And I think the safe haven, or the safety valve, is, okay, we'll live here as expats, but we're going to protect our money by taking it offshore. That's what we've seen happening here. People are very nervous of investing in South Africa, and whatever money they have is being channeled offshore correctly. That's a correct decision. They'll bring it back. If there's opportunities, yeah, that money will come back. But at the moment, there's far better opportunities elsewhere than in South Africa. And that's the message we can't get it through. We can't get that through. Create the environment. Put out a red carpet. Ease back on so many of the constraints and inhibitions that you create in the market. Just forget about the ideology. Forget about politics. Let's get growth going. Let's get businesses up. But you can't make headway. And this is an example, but you dare not challenge it.
You know? There's my question for you, David. Is this government incompetent, captured, or brilliant?
I wouldn't say the last. I think it's more incompetent and captured. And we don't know who the advisors are. We don't know what goes around cabinet meetings and where these decisions are getting made. You know, the other point as well is that, yes, there are other opposition parties as well. Consult them, bring them in as well. use them. That's democracy. I know you're the leading party, but it doesn't mean that they marginalize. It does mean that there are other people with other views in the country. And in fact, I suppose the same thing applies in America as well. You don't get all the views. And in America, 50% of the people didn't vote for you, or more than 50%. Use them, speak to them as well. Represent the entire nation and use the brains. Use whatever you can get within a nation. That's what I find just astonishing in this country as well, that we do have a history of good governance, and we do have a history of very competent business people, you know, who pulled us out of a lot more very, very difficult times. Find them, use them, talk to them. Doesn't happen.
Interesting point that you make there. How many people voted for the ANC? What was the percentage at the last election?
Call it 60%. Was it less than that? 60? I don't know.
And you consider how many people didn't vote. So you don't really have a divine right to rule like an autocracy.
So that's my view, yeah.
Are people now getting angry?
Oh, yeah. I think people are getting very, very angry now. And the wrong kind of people, the people who've got the money and have got the money to invest, those are the ones that are getting very angry. And those are the ones you need. Tita understands. Lucinda understands. They know. If you speak to them, they know exactly what needs to be done. But I don't think it's shared right across the table or around the table.
David Shapiro, as always, calling us a spade a bloody shovel and giving a direct talk.